There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason that I broadcast from the basement of my house out here in Elbert, Colorado, is I'm a father of five. We're homeschooling our children out here. Got a vision for raising our children, the fear and nurture of the Lord, in a day where 37% of children are born without fathers. And Dave Buhner's also in the studio. Dave, you got the same vision, don't you? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, today talking about a trip to Mexico. Just came back from a trip to Mexico, and really great time down in Mexico. My son and I took off, was it last Wednesday, and flew back Sunday night about midnight. And we were at the homeschool conference in Sotelo. I spoke there for something like 8-9 times. We had some great Q&A sessions. And it's sponsored by Mike Richardson and his family and the organization that he leads out down there, El Hogar Educator. It has to do with, you know, home education. But he has had that conference going for 9 to 12 years. We had 1,200 people, count them, guys, 1,200 people there in that auditorium in Sotelo, Mexico. And it's amazing, Dave. There are people in Mexico that love their children, too.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, and you can see it in the faces of children when a parent has invested in those children over, 8, 10, 12, 14 years. And I mean invested. I'm not talking about just ignoring their children's character issues, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they have poured themselves into these children. They have poured the Word of God in these children. They've nurtured these children, the fear and nurture of the Lord, over all those years. And Dave, there were 14-year-old boys who were honoring their fathers. I know that some of you are thinking, why is this all that important? It's important because I don't see it all that much in my country. And it's happening in Mexico, too. And Dave, it's a different culture there. But anybody can honor their father. You don't have to be American to honor your father. You have to be discipled in the principles of God's word, of course, but any culture can honor their fathers, and it's incredibly encouraging to see this happening.
Now, you were in Mexico. You don't speak Spanish.
No.
So I assume there was a translator, or was
yes.
that many people could hear English?
No, I was speaking into a microphone that was not amplified. It went into the earphones of an interpreter. And this guy could translate on the fly. It was incredible. You know how fast I can speak. This guy was faster. He was on my game constantly. I just kept talking and talking, and there were no breaks. He said, whatever you do, don't take a break. You just go. Go, go, go. This guy translated me the whole distance. He translated me, 10 or 11 times over a two-day conference. And it was a great, great experience.
Well, that's interesting. Was there times when he would struggle for a word that was an Americanized word, and he had to bring it to Spanish because the cultures are different?
From time to time, I'd use an American figure of speech that just would not fly. Would not fly, see? If I had said that, he would have been messed up. So occasionally, I would bring out an American idiom, and I knew it was an American idiom. I'd backspace and translate it. Give it just one more synonym, and he'd be able to pull it out. So there was a symbiosis between us. And the people received the message, and I was amazed. Some of the funny lines, you use with American audiences, they were picking up on them. They were working. So I'd say 95% of the funny lines were working with the Mexicans. Now, you had to use some illustrations they understood. They couldn't use, every illustration. But bottom line, these guys were receiving the message. They are basically dealing with the same issues we are, Dave. Their schools are worst. Worse in every way. Worse morally. God has never been in the schools there. That's one difference between what we're dealing with, what they're dealing with. I talked about how the first curriculum in America began with a primer that began, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. You remember the New England primer. They didn't have a New England primer. That's a difference. Now we have, Heather has two daddies in New York City's schools for kindergartners. So we're indoctrinated, our little guys, in homosexuality in kindergarten and the first and second grade. They don't necessarily have that. They're getting close to that. Homosexuality is not quite legal, but it's, the homosexual marriage is almost legal in Mexico City. Abortion was just legalized in Mexico City. So they're dealing with a lot of the same things we are. They've never had God in the schools. What they get is a hardcore humanism, a socialism, and also, you know, a lot of paganism. They get probably a little more paganism than we do. They're going back into tradition. They're finding all their old, you know, superstitious pagan ideas, and they celebrate these things in the schools of Mexico. So you've got some pretty rancid things happening. Academically, the schools are awful. The rule in Mexican schools, from what I've heard, is the teacher must be three grade levels above the class. Okay, so if you're teaching third grade, you've got to have graduated through out of the sixth grade. That's the rule in Mexico.
Well, at least there's a differential.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment, a little bit more on what's happening in the Mexican homeschool movement. God is working south of the border. We're coming back next on Generations.
Already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Back on Generations, friends, Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for CHECK, Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado. And I make it around the U.S. and sometimes other countries talk about the vision for home education. We were just down in Mexico this last weekend, had a great time. Dan, my son, went down there with me and helped them set up a conference, and it was a great conference. Mike Richardson did a great job. He's been leading that organization for a long time. I think he's got 4,000 families on his mailing list from some 25 to 30 countries. He serves not just Mexico, but any other country where they speak Spanish. They've translated a lot of the books into Spanish. I'm thinking books like Shepherding a Child's Heart, Making Brothers and Sisters Best Friends. Remember the family we had on the air a couple of weeks ago? The Malley family, right? They translated that into Spanish recently. And the guy that translated for me also translates these books, many of these books. He's considered one of the best, if not the best, translator for Christian materials in Mexico. And he was a medical doctor for quite some time. Now, there's some history here. His family was one of the first homeschool families in Mexico, a missionary family at the beginning, all right? So they had eight children. And at some point, the father, or the patriarch of this family, now he's some 60, 65 years old, but the patriarch of this family decided that he was not going to take American support anymore. He figured the testimony would be stronger if he received most of the support from Mexico, and he had to get a job, and I think he was a tutor or a teacher in a private Christian school or something of that sort. But anyway, this guy had eight children, all eight children homeschooled today. They are, I think, almost without exception, Mexican citizens. All 40 grandchildren have been homeschooled. So that sort of began this legacy, and many of these guys contributed to the homeschool movement, the developing homeschool movement in Mexico. One of the very first families in Mexico was the Diaz family down in Mexico City. They started homeschooling in 1986, okay? Now, the Diaz family, Paco is the father. He's a Mexican citizen. He married an American, I believe a missionary child, Marilyn, and they have three to four children, I can't remember which, but they've been homeschooling, as I said, since 1985 and 1986. So pretty much the beginning of the homeschooling movement there in Mexico. Now, the movement really got started over the last 10 years. There was a family, the Dappin family, another missionary family, down towards the southern end, and they began working on putting together curriculum for Christian homeschools. They got the first reading curriculum out in, I think, 1998, if I'm not mistaken. An amazing family. They live in an area where it's pretty much drug-infested. They have been threatened. A fellow pulled a gun on the father, and father was able to eventually pray with the guy and sort of brought the whole situation down. But there's some violent areas, I guess, in Mexico. Many of these missionaries are strong people, strong faith, lots of courage, and a lot of vision. And I think they're making a difference for the nation of Mexico.
Kevin, as you spoke to these people, did you get the sense that they had a vision for their children in God's kingdom? Or was it more just about getting them out of the corrupt and dangerous schools there?
You know, Dave, a lot of them were. A lot of them were really catching the importance of evangelizing their children, discipling their children. And as, of course, as we get towards the end of our presentations on homeschooling, we redefine the word education to mean discipleship. And a lot of heads are nodding at this point. You know, people are agreeing with this. They say, yes, we've got to make faith and character central in the paideia, in the education of a child. And yeah, we're in the process of discipling these children for Jesus Christ over these 18, 19 years. Now, a lot of them are struggling with issues. They're pulling their children out of public schools. They find that once they do that, these children are so addicted to their peer relationships, they have a hard time reconnecting with their parents. So you have, you know, moms that came up to the microphone and said, what do I do? I've got a 13-year-old daughter. She's in rebellion. She doesn't want to be at home with me. She doesn't receive the word of God. God, as we try to disciple her in God's word, she wants to hang out with her peers all day long. What do we do? Dave, these are the exactly same questions asked by homeschooling audiences here in America. They've got the same issues. It's just the skin color is different. The language may be a little different, but they're struggling with the same thing. They're losing the hearts of their kids, and it's a concern. They're certainly more and more seeing that the household is no longer a unit. The daughter's leaving the home. They're not seeing family as an important thing. Birth implosion is happening in Mexico. Families that used to have 5, 6, 7, 8 children are now having 1 or 2, and they hate children there. Abortion, again, is being legalized in the nation. Yeah, they're going the same way we are, Dave, but I'd say they're probably about, 20 years behind us.
Is it that they're following the same path, or are they getting the same destination by virtue of a different path, or lack of virtue, as it may be in this case? Because America was founded on the Protestant faith. We've talked about that before. But Mexico is pretty much established in a syncretized version of the Roman Catholic faith, where they didn't only had statues of Mary, but they had statues of the Aztec gods in the same worship. My sense of it is from this side of the border, and I haven't been down there like you have, is that Mexico isn't falling as fast, but they're further down this road of corruption of anti-Christianity. We're losing a faith, but they didn't have it.
We're falling faster, but they're hardly falling because they've never had it. Yes, right? I think that's the best way of putting it. But what they do have is being corrupted by humanism. Again, Dave, what do we got? We have competing worldviews in this world. We've got the pagan worldview, that syncretized version of the Catholic faith, which was very paganized and very corrupt. And they wound up with these horrific socialist corrupt governments that continue to corrupt the people everywhere. So, yeah, they've got that. But they also have the corruption of humanism now. So another competing worldview is coming in and saying, you know, why don't you live your life for yourself? It's all about materialism. Go get a good job. Once you get the good job, corrupt the family. Whatever you do, don't have any children. Live for yourself. It's all for you. So this existentialistic, humanistic view of life has corrupted the nation as well. So what do you get, Dave, when you start with a pagan nation, corrupt it with humanism? You get a disaster. You get a disaster on your hands. And that's exactly where Mexico is headed. In fact, you know, at one point they were very conservative in terms of their economics. At least they wouldn't get into very much debt. Now they're going the debt route. And that's going to corrupt them even further. So Mexico is going to be in trouble, except for the fact that there are godly families are bringing the word of God to bear in every area of life. And these people are catching the vision, Dave. There is no question these families are strong families, very strong families. Now, Mexico is somewhat of a matriarchal society. I mean, you've heard that said before. I think that's true. Nevertheless, I don't think, in terms of the audience, comparing the homeschool audience that I spoke to in Mexico to the homeschool audiences I speak to here in the United States, I'd say, Dave, we have exactly the same issues. For the most part, yeah, the women are more involved. For the most part, the women are more concerned about their families than the men are. For the most part. But there are just about as many men in the Mexico conferences as there are in the American conferences who are really connecting with a message. I mean, their eyes were riveted to me practically the whole time as I was walking through this. And many of these men would step up to the microphone during the Q&A session and say, man, I'm trying to lead my family worship time. I'm having a hard time prioritizing it into my life. My schedule is all over the place. How do you work that out? Here's how I'm trying to work it out, but it's not working very well. What do you suggest? So, you know, they have the same issues we have, and a lot of these guys are engaging. So these fathers are coming forward and saying, you know, I need to be the spiritual head of my family. I need to lead in family worship. That's what Ephesians 6:4, the book of Proverbs, and Deuteronomy 6:7 tells me, and they're catching the message, and they're implementing it.
Well, the gospel, we believe, is the solution for all of life woes if it's lived out in all of life.
Yeah.
And that's a more pure form of the gospel. I see what happened in Mexico is that the Roman Catholic Church syncretized with pagan culture. But what's happening in America is we have the evangelical church syncretizing with the humanist culture. Both of them are a watered-down, weak version of the gospel. It's a gospel that doesn't affect every area of life. So it's not really the gospel, because the gospel changes the way you make your roads. It changes the way you raise your children. It changes plumbing. It changes everything about life. And as we walk away in this country and from a 100-proof gospel, and we water it down, and we put the church and Christianity in this little box, we've lost the power. We may have a form of religion, but we lost the power thereof. I see that that's the very same problem that Mexico has, but it's the same solution. The same solution is a 100-proof gospel.
And, Dave, it's happening. You know, on the macro view, you know, what's happening in America and what's happening down in Mexico is depressing, all right? It's depressing. It's really depressing. Things cost a lot of money. I was amazed how much clothing costs, twice as much as what you pay in Walmart. Yeah. Twice as much, adjusted for the dollar, twice as much down in there. And yet these guys make $3,000 a year. At least the rank and file, the maintenance workers, the blue-collar guys, they're making $3,000 a year, and shirts cost twice as much down there as what they cost up here. Unbelievable how bad the economy is in Mexico. Now, of course, the doctors are making $100,000 a year, so there's a wide disparity, and it's amazing how bad it is, Dave, in a nation that claims to be socialistic. You know, it's funny, once the Marxists get a hold of a nation, they say they're gonna you know, develop more of an equity. It turns out you continue to get two classes. Now, the best building I saw in Saltillo was a government rec center. That's it for government employees, okay? Now, for anybody else, keep the riffraff out of here. This is for our guys, you know. So, there is two classes, and it's the low class and the high class. Very little middle class happening in Mexico, and that's hurting the nation. Bottom line, corruption, the growth of government is a problem. Power of government is a problem there. There's a lot of manipulation of the economy, and there is most certainly corruption everywhere. And what I did is I stood up to this in front of all these parents and said, "You want to solve the problems in Mexico? You teach your children, you nurture strong character in your children. You teach them to be honest. You teach them to be diligent. You teach them to be men and women of integrity. You do that. And if hundreds of thousands and millions of parents are teaching godly faith and godly character in children, according to the Word of God, over 18 years, as you pour yourself into these children, guess what? You're going to see your nation change. But you can't change it by changing the government. Granted, that's a part of it. That's only a small part of it, though. The major way in which Mexicans are going to change Mexico and change the culture and the economy in Mexico is when moms and dads are willing to do the work. So, Dave, on the macro level, it's depressing, just like it is here in America. On the micro level, it's very encouraging. These parents are really committing to this. This movement is growing. A lot of parents are turning their hearts towards their families, towards their children, and they're turning their children back to their God. And this is a very, very encouraging sign south of the border.
Kevin, as these parents are doing this, I mean, they're coming probably at a less than high school education level themselves. How are they accomplishing teaching their children to go beyond them?
Dave, I met families with MDs all the way down to families that were making a couple of grand a year. And the bottom line is they were all doing it. They were all teaching their children the basics, teaching their children how to read, teaching their children the Word of God. And it didn't really matter if they were living in a grass shack or a 6,000 square foot home. They were bringing God's Word into the lives of these children. And it really taught me a valuable lesson. That is, Dave, it's really not that important where you live or the conditions of your life. What is important is what you're doing in that shack. What's important is whether you're bringing God's principles to bear into the lives of your children. If you're doing that, if you're living life in faith and trust and obedience before God, you know what? You're going to experience a lot of joy. And there was joy in these people's lives. I could see it. I mean, many of them were very, very poor. But they were very, very joyful, and I think they were walking with God. And and teaching their children to walk with God, and that's going to make a difference for the nation of Mexico. You know, Dave, theology does make a difference. The kinds of things that we teach our children, the kinds of ways we live our lives, will make a difference. There's a reason this nation has been as blessed as it is. It's because it was founded on guys like John Winthrop and the Mather family, all the way back from Richard to Increase to Cotton Mather. These guys were people who discipled their children in God's Word. They had a commitment to God's Word as it applied to every area of life. And yeah, when this nation started out, we were poverty-stricken. These people weren't living in palatial mansions. But this nation was blessed economically by God, I believe, because they brought God's Word to bear in every area of life. And this is my vision for the state of Mexico, and I know it is with Mike Richardson and the other missionaries and the indigenous guys that are working the homeschooling movement in Mexico.
Well, Kevin, it's been said that culture is theology externalized. It's how we live out our theology. It's not necessarily the system that we subscribe to, but it's what we really believe deep down in our heart, because that's how we're going to live. We're going to live the way that we really believe. If we believe that we should fear God, and we do fear God, that's going to be evidenced in how we do everything. How do you change a culture? You change the hearts and the minds of people. You change their theology, not their statements of faith, but the faith that is written on their hearts.
And Dave, when those fathers become the visionaries in those homes, we're going to see a matriarchal society shift to more of a biblical balanced society where, you know, you're not going to be as reliant upon the big mother state or the big mother church anymore. You're going to see self-governing people. You're going to see the power flowing from the bottom up rather than the top down. Why? Because we're getting back into God's order of things, where fathers really act as fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about our trip that we took down to Mexico, and it was a wonderful opportunity for my son and I as we saw what God was doing south of the border in the hearts of fathers, as he was turning the hearts of fathers back to the sons and sons back to the fathers. And this, my friends, is the best sign I know of true spiritual revival anywhere in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Generations, and you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, even in Mexico, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.